The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you're wondering, you know that the Bible says that anybody who needs wisdom can ask God for wisdom, and God will give them wisdom. It's in the book of James. But what if you're so unwise you don't even know how to go about asking wisdom? Well, my friend, I want you to listen to my regular rotating co-host today, Jim Barrier, and then go to God in prayer and say, I want a heaping helping of whatever you gave him. Jim, welcome to our program.
Hi, Bob. Well, that's a very, very kind intro, and I hope we're going to rattle some cages tonight.
We always rattle cages.
Yeah, and we do want people...
You and I wouldn't do too well working at the zoo, would we?
Well, good point.
Those animals would be in a stupor.
I can think of a number of places that we would probably not be successful, but... I posted a thing just recently, and it said, true words are not always pretty, and pretty words are not always true. And so sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it?
It does. What's that other saying? The uglier the truth, the truer the friend that tells you the truth.
Well, there you go. I've got plenty of those friends. All right. Well, I want to quote a phrase for you. I've mentioned it before. One of my favorite writers of old days was one Charles Grandison Finney, and a man who really did much to transform his culture and his society.
One of the Christian abolitionists, one of the early abolitionists here in America.
Yeah.
For all of you who say that Christianity supported slavery in the Bible, you would have had trouble explaining that to Charles Finney.
Absolutely. And he, by the way, became president of Oberlin College, the first... institution of higher education in the United States to graduate blacks and women. So just
they probably allowed men and women to use the men and women's bathroom in those days too. Wouldn't that be so, Jim?
Don't ask, don't tell. I don't know. They were outside anyway, so
that's right. It was probably a non-issue.
So here's a line I learned from reading Charles Finney's works, which I've read most everything. I've read his biography, his autobiography, and most of his works in his systematic theology. And he made this statement, law without sanction is merely advice. Profound statement.
Yeah, would be profound statement to this administration.
Well, and that's what I would like to chat with you about tonight. Now, some of our listeners know that sometimes I come in with a kind of a contrary view, just to stir things up and maybe play devil's advocate or whatever and bounce some things off. I think tonight the things that I'm going to talk with you about, you and I are going to be 100% eye to eye, but it just things that seem so relevant to where we're at right now. I think we're at a very critical point in the flow of our nation, and it has to do with this notion that law without sanction is merely advice. And so jumping right into it, the first thing, we're going to start at the top. Well, maybe not, but Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's very clearly guilty of perjury.
Oh, that is about the understatement of the century and probably the least of what she's guilty of.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, Loretta Lynch and James Comey and these people who are afraid, they probably fear for their lives, but you know, they won't call her on it. And, you know, Comey says, well, yes, you know, there's this and that, but we don't think we should press charges.
The problem is they couldn't press charges on her without her taking Obama down, because undoubtedly a lot of what she was trying to cover up in the emails were, I mean, particularly with Benghazi, where was he that evening?
Yeah,
there's very
yeah.
little she could have done without getting the support of the commander in chief. And so it's not just her, it's both of them.
It's supposed to work that way, actually. She is supposed to get orders from him, and I believe you're right. But, you know, people are afraid to do the right thing and call it what it is. And so what we've got now is a very corrupt system. And so here you have, we'll talk about the commander-in-chief in a few minutes, if, you know, I want to get to him.
The campaigner-in-chief?
Yeah. So Hillary has a long, long history. It's well documented. I'm sure you know more than I do about her scandals and the things that have followed her that she's been able to sweep under the carpet that somehow mysteriously don't get primetime news on any of the networks except perhaps Fox. They call her Teflon because nothing sticks. And she's gotten away with breaking so many rules, and as her spouse, who the wannabe, what are we going to call him anyway? Is he?
I just heard the other day. He says if they win, instead of being called First Lady, he wants to be called First Laddie.
First Laddie, yeah.
They're gonna ruin a good episode of Star Trek. My favorite episode is when the Klingon was picking the fight with Scotty, and he couldn't get by insulting Kirk, so he started insulting the Enterprise. And Scott's the chief engineer. He goes, "Laddie, would you care to rephrase that?"
Yeah.
I'm not even going to have a fun memory of that episode anymore if Bill Clinton becomes First Laddie.
That would spoil it. By the way, my favorite episode was Bread and Circuses, where they went to a
modernized Rome. Yeah.
Modernized Rome, yeah. And it was about the Son of God. And it was a great, great
episode. It was. Yeah, that was a good one.
But back to Hillary. I think we have established now a norm in our culture that not everybody gets punished for their crimes. If you can't afford a good attorney, or if you're not powerful, or if you're not intimidating, and if you don't have, what is it now, 5 mysterious deaths that nobody seems to want to talk about?
Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah, yeah. And look out, Mackie's back in town. that was a reference for some of the folks our age. And the problem is this, law without sanction is merely advice. If you let people break the law, if they brazenly lie to the public, you know what? I hearken back to many years ago and a president looking into the camera, pounding his fist, saying, "I did not have sex with that woman."
Yeah, you know? And then later,
he perjured himself.
Well, technically, they did not have full sexual intercourse. That was what he tried to defend himself with. But
it depends on what is.
But what I keep going back to is Hillary came on before he made his confession, and she said.
Yeah.
On TV, the real story for anybody who wants to go out and find it is the vast right-wing conspiracy against my husband. Did she ever come back and apologize for that? Of course not. Because
no,
it's a handy, because she's playing it again right now. It's just the right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah.
Every time Judicial Watch pushes for some, Judicial Watch is an ultra-right-wing group. Yeah, well, the Clinton Foundation is an ultra-left-wing group.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party is practically funded by George Soros these days. So.
Yeah. And she is the master, or whoever the people are that work with her, of spinning things. And I guess what troubles me is that there doesn't seem to be enough American people, enough individuals, and certainly people who are in the position. Now, I know, present company excluded. We do what we can in the Salem Broadcast Network. And I think the Fox News Network makes an effort, but for the most part, they just glaze over these things. They sweep it under the rug. They pretend like it's not there. And so she gets away with much.
And if she gets elected, she's going to get away with a whole lot more, because go look for that fairness doctrine and them censoring right-wing conservative radio, television.
Yeah, so I need to get on the show as often as I can. Because
you bet. We only have a couple more months.
We laugh about it, but that is a reality that's possible, and it's very troubling to me. But somewhere along the line, we have become flexible. And I had a friend. This is an interesting conversation. I might have mentioned it last month, but a good friend, Gary Young, who used to do the show with me. You know Gary.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And he was talking to his brother-in-law, who is extremely liberal and also extremely intelligent. And I've had many conversations with him. You'd love it. He's a proclaimed atheist, and I've asked him some questions, and his response has been, well, that's a good question.
Well, at least he's been academically honest enough to say that.
Yeah, at least. But so Gary confronted him recently. They were they're visiting family, and he said, you know, but she's been lying, and she's been caught lying. And it's very plain, and you must be honest enough to see that she's lying. And his brother-in-law's response was, so what? It doesn't matter if she lies. She just needs to get reelected.
Well, that's a lot of the left's ideology, is that the ends justifies the means.
Right. We called it a situation ethics, is what we used to call it back in the 60s or whenever that, you know. But what's happened has become the norm. And so, boy, we could just go on and on.
Well, and I've said this on the air before, Hillary and Obama both, they benefit from a plethora of scandals because people think there's no way one person could be guilty of so many things. We'll be right back.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
So, according to State Department spokesman John Kirby, the money paid to the Iranians was not ransom for hostages. It's just that until the hostages were released, the Iranians didn't get their money. See the difference? Yeah. Kirby does admit that he can see how people might interpret it the other way. You think? I feel sorry for this guy. His job is not enviable. He must spin the policies of Obama every possible direction, but he does deserve an Oscar for delivering this drivel with a straight face. Welcome back, my co-host Jim Barrier.
You know, that's another one. It's just amazing. Well, it was just coincidence, I guess. The timing is amazing on that.
Well, at first they just wouldn't call it anything but coincidental timing. Then the second time he comes out and admits that it was orchestrated. So they've already admitted that they've lied, but they still spin. They still keep spinning. Yeah. Because they get away with it, Jim. Why shouldn't they? They get away with it. There's no recourse.
And you know why? Because law without sanction is merely advice.
Exactly.
That's the theme tonight, folks. So, you know, as you, when you were mentioning that on the lead in there, I thought about an inauguration day many years ago when there were hostages that were suddenly released, and there was no exchange of cash. But there was a president being inaugurated that these guys didn't want to mess with.
Well, exactly. And say what you want about Trump, but the world leaders would not want to mess with him. And what I think we're going to see an increase in terror attacks and more hostage situations because they're going to try to get in as much as they can while Obama is still there not doing anything.
Yeah, I think you may be right, unfortunately. And I, you know, I never... until very recently, thought I would hear myself say, "I hope and pray Donald Trump gets elected."
Well, it's all we got left, my friend. We can go back and play shows where we were both critical of him, but this is the choice. It's all we have left.
That's what we've got.
Next to Hillary Clinton, he looks like Mother Teresa.
That's the point.
Although Mother Teresa didn't quite have the same looking hair, but
sometimes you have to take the lesser of two evils.
And this is definitely that.
Now, you brought something up earlier, and I just wanted to respond because my little brain started turning. How about we call Bill the first Bubba? Better still, I like this one, and you just have to have a context to get this. The first Dandy.
No, he's definitely the first something. All right.
I think the first Dandy, you know, and people that understand the context of that word more in the British.
This is a great moment for women, and I know all about great moments with women.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and even on that, come on, Hillary knew.
She said during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, but I guarantee you, she sat him in a room. She says, "Now you sit down and shut up, and I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get me the presidency. Otherwise, I'm going to fry you like a barbecue."
Yeah. I think everybody's afraid of her. I'm not afraid of her enough to keep silent. And so that's what we're doing here. So you've got these people, you know, not only Hillary, but what about Loretta Lynch? What about the mysterious meeting on the plane? They talked about the grandkids.
Oh, of course, yeah. They had the rendezvous on a plane in the airport to discuss their grandchildren.
And then all of a sudden this thing gets handed down. And can anybody, how can you not see through that?
Because again, they just... When the Pravda newspaper is the press that's on your side, you can get away with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Pravda being alias for MSNBC.
Yeah, gotcha. Which, ironically, I think is the Russian word for truth. Now, I have said this as well on the show many times. On Judgment Day, media goes first. Again, present company excluded. oh my gosh. You've got these people, they get caught lying. And when Brian Williams comes to mind some ludicrous things that he's, you know, done and said or said that he'd done. And just, I guess it's not as bad as saying that you landed and you were under sniper fire.
It just goes on and on. And then you hear these pundits come say, "Well, the American people want to move on. The American people don't want to hear this. They want to hear about the issues, blah, blah, blah."
Well, that's the problem. The American people want to hear what they want to hear, and they don't like the truth because the truth hurts.
And God will give a nation the leader they deserve, and that's something the American people should start taking to heart.
That's something the American people should be very, very concerned about.
Absolutely, and that includes evangelical Christians who just don't pay attention to what's going on.
You know, I was invited one time to pray for a very conservative group. They're having a big thing, and for whatever reason, I was invited to come and do the opening invocation. And I was never asked back, but after I prayed, because I said two things in my prayer. And I did kind of think it through. Most of the time I pray kind of free form, but I did think about the weight of that moment. And I said two things in that prayer. One is, judgment begins in the house of God, not in the White House.
Yep.
And our hope is on Calvary's Hill, not Capitol Hill.
Now, what school was this that they had such a problem with that? This was a Christian school, you said?
Well, No. This was a meeting of a very conservative pro-life group, and it was
they shouldn't have had any problem with that statement whatsoever. What was their problem?
Well, I think the problem was that I came across a little bit. It was a little negative, and it was supposed to be a feel-good night.
They're talking about abortion. Isn't the subject already a little bit negative?
Well, because the church pretty much doesn't want to assume responsibility. We want to point fingers. And we want to blame Hillary and Obama and everybody else that's out there, but we don't want to take the responsibility and say, you know what, it's on our watch.
Of course it was. I remember I preached at Skyline Church in the fall of 2008. Mm-hmm. College student came up to me afterwards, told me he was going to vote for Obama. In fact, he didn't call him Obama. He called him the Obama. He might as well have been saying the Messiah the way he was talking about this guy.
Yeah.
And I said, what's your reason for supporting Obama? He didn't know. He just returned a mantra. He says, change. I said, change for what? Change for the better. And then he walked off quickly before I could ask him any more questions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember in the 60s people coming and asking for change. And they'd say spare change.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all we had left after Obama came about change. So he delivered.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that it troubles me that so many people in church, and I'll go with people that claim to be born again evangelical Christians, and they may very well be, but they're so ignorant of the realities of the things that are going on, and they buy into the spin that it's like they're blinded. And they start to believe the stuff that they hear people say, and they don't check it out, they don't do their homework, and it's very troubling. So I put the responsibility on the church.
I agree. God's going to look at, and we talked about this last week, God would have spared Sodom if he had found at least 10 righteous people.
Yeah.
They didn't even have 10, but he would have spared them that. The question is, how many will it take in America? We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's latest novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
appropriate song. I fought the law and the law won. Hey, just to make sure I don't get in trouble with the law, I didn't mention Sodom on last week's radio show. I mentioned it a couple of weeks, but I mentioned it again in Sunday school this morning. I need to get my Sodoms and my Gomorrahs straight. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Good. Good job, Nick. Awesome. Bobby Fuller 4. Okay. Now let's move from the hopeful candidate to the lame duck. I know you've been aware of these stories, and I wanted to touch on it tonight. Our president has now racked up a total of 562 commutations. That's more than the 9 previous presidents combined. He's turning people loose. And I hear my liberal friends go, oh, they're for light possession and they're small crimes. No, 197 of these were life sentences. They don't give you a life sentence for possession of a small amount of pot.
Yeah, and yet the same president will promise to prosecute people that speak ill of the religion of Islam because we might want to be protesting some of these terrorist attacks.
Yeah, well, you don't want to offend anybody. The problem is those numbers offend me.
Oh, well, Jim, you're not allowed to be offended. You're a conservative and you're an evangelical Christian. All the sensitivity training and not offending people, that doesn't apply to us.
Well, and if I am offended, it makes me a racist. But
and you're a white male. You're a white. We just give it up. Why did you even bother waking up this morning?
I'm just, you know, because I can't get fired for this. You know, I might get uninvited, but I don't know. No, I think you might have enough astute listeners that they can see what I'm saying, what you're saying. This troubles me, though. This guy's he's opened up the gate and said, hey, everybody out, free for all. It's a jailbreak, literally. Is anybody stupid enough, naive enough, out of touch enough to believe that there will not be several of these criminals who will turn right around and commit another crime as bad or worse because they get away with it?
Well, they've also been releasing people from what's our base's name in Cuba?
Gitmo. And I was going to hit on that. That's the same. It's the exact same spirit behind it. And let me just refresh our listeners' memory. Law without sanction is merely advice. If you commit a crime that the judge and or jury felt was worthy of a life sentence, that needs to be carried out. And if you some point within that say, you know what, we're just gonna call it, and we're gonna just cut you loose and say it, let bygones be bygones, then the law is meaningless.
Absolutely, and this was the president who drew that red line for Syria, and then So the next time he draws another red line, is anybody going to take it seriously?
Well, the next time it'll be a dotted pink line.
it's like in the movie Team America. The United Nations was warning Kim Jong-il, and he says, well, what if I don't pay attention to you? They said, we're going to write you a letter.
Yeah. Well, and I had a friend one time who was back during that hostage crisis that I referred to earlier when the peanut farmer was in office. And they remember it was a terrible thing, a debacle. They sent in some helicopters, and they crashed in the desert.
You got to give Carter kudos for at least trying that helicopter rescue.
At least trying, but then he said, and the president warned them, and next time I'm going to crash the helicopters even closer. So the Gitmo thing, there was a story just came out today. One of the guys that was released from Gitmo is already back recruiting terrorists and active in the system.
Well, and they come back and they'll say things like, well, some of them will go back, maybe only about 35%. If even one goes back, what the heck is the purpose of this?
Yeah, that's one too many.
So that Obama, who made a campaign promise about closing Gitmo, can pat himself on the back, and that's worth lives, not just in America, but in other countries around the world?
Yeah, and I don't know who that promise was for, because I know that there are goofy people that want to pretend like there's no threat, that want to pretend like that we don't have to be involved. And the truth is 9/11 involved us, and we've been involved ever since.
It makes you miss Jack Nicholson being in charge of Gitmo and A Few Good Men.
Yeah. You know what? That is in my top five films because...
I love that movie.
Here's what it is. A great script, great acting, no special effects, no explosions.
Well, it was like a play. It was like a play, and it originally was a Broadway play before they made it into a movie. You can see that in the really well-written dialogue.
Well, it was brilliant. And by the way, it also connected the dots on 90% of that six steps to Kevin Bacon thing that everybody used to play, because he was in that film, and so was everybody else. But great film, but you're right. There isn't anybody...
And Jack Nicholson was the bad guy in that movie, but he's looking pretty good. I'd rather see him in charge of Gitmo than Obama.
Yeah. And of course, as much as he was the bad guy in that film, the story was justice was served.
Exactly.
And
unlike our injustice department today.
Yeah. And it's not happening. And boy, you know, you got this guy, he's setting prisoners free, he's setting terrorists free. And it's hard for me to resist the temptation to buy into the conspiracy theories that many of my friends hold to. I just don't know if a guy can be that stupid.
We don't need conspiracy theories for Obama. There's so much he just does in public without shame and doubles down on. Who needs conspiracy theories? Just look at what's actually really happening.
Yeah, just the reality is bad enough in itself. So I'm greatly concerned that those things are going on. And then, and we'll just shift gears a little further here. We have a big issue about the borders. And one of the controversies with Mr. Trump is that he wants to build the wall or the fence, as you pointed out.
And for this, he's being called a racist just because he thinks our country needs to have borders.
Yeah, and I love your thing about Pence rhymes with fence.
That's right. That was my tweet this week. Did he pick the name Pence because it sounds like fence? So that when they put up these signs, you read Trump Pence and you get a subliminal message. You think you're reading Trump fence. We'll be right back.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, being joined by one of my favorite rotating co-hosts, Jim Barrier.
Hey, so we left off there, and I just mentioned the fence that Donald, Mr. Trump, has talked about building. There is a problem on the border. You're in a border city, San Diego, and it's been a problem as long as I've been.
I think they watch it better in San Diego than they do in a lot of places. So we don't have it that bad here.
There's some places along the Texas border here that I'm just telling you, you don't want to be around there. But here's the term. Until recently, we used the term illegal immigrant.
Oh, that's not politically correct anymore.
I know. So now they're undocumented aliens.
Well, you can't say aliens either, because I've heard that makes them sound like somebody from outer space if you use the word
aliens. Exactly, because they'll come and bite your face off.
It reminded me of the movie Men in Black, where Tommy Lee Jones is on the border and they're talking about the illegal aliens, and all of a sudden you realize he's fighting real aliens from outer space.
Yeah. Now, but the problem is they really are illegal. So I looked up this word in the dictionary just to clarify things for myself. Illegal means contrary to or forbidden by law, especially criminal law.
Yeah.
So what is it that's not clear about that?
It's just interesting how the politically correct stuff keeps growing. Now on college campuses, it's not politically correct to use the word men or woman anymore. Unless you're a woman claiming you're a man in the body, then you can use the word man, or you're a man claiming it's a woman inside. You can use the words in those cases. But if it's if it's somebody who looks like a man calling himself a man, that you're not allowed to say.
Yeah, it's whatever I feel like I am at the moment.
Yeah.
We're on very thin ice with that whole thing. And I'll take my normal departure here. And I will say this, I have many friends and acquaintances from the LGBT, I don't remember, now they've added more letters, but...
even more? We're not going to be able to keep up with all this.
Yeah, I know. It's like an eye test, you know.
hold it up. I see LGBT. Okay. No, that's a B.
Yeah. Now cover your right eye. And I understand the feelings that people have. I have really good conversations with my friends, and they know what I believe, they know what I do for a living, they know where I'm at, and so we find some ground to have intelligent conversations. But in fact, one of my friends said to me, he says, well, you know, I feel like I'm a woman, you know, and he has a partner and they're in a committed relationship, and you know, and I look at him and think, well, you may feel that way, but you know, I can see by looking at you that really you're not.
Well, it's the emperor's new clothes.
Yeah, but that whole thing has completely gone irrational, and I understand. Believe me, better than most people or pastors, I am really, really all about the love the sinner and hate the sin. I've got that. I understand. I don't compromise about what I believe the Bible teaches. I believe that that is a sin. I also believe that there are a lot of other things that are sins, and I have to love people even if they haven't been completely delivered from their sin. I get that. But there is a deception now, and what I'm getting from a lot of my Christian friends, even some of them in ministry, saying, well, you know, that's an outdated thing, and you can't take everything in the Bible and take it literally, and that's cultural, and it doesn't apply to us today. And I think you're in a dangerous place when you start tearing out pages of the Bible because they make you or someone else uncomfortable.
And there were some things in the Bible that were cultural, but we've got to use some discernment, like when they told women not to braid their hair or wear jewelry. Yeah. That was the way a prostitute dressed in those days. It's not necessarily the way a prostitute dresses today, but being modest and not looking like a prostitute would still be a transferable concept that would apply for any day.
Yeah, exactly. And I do a lot of teaching on that kind of stuff about things that are biblical absolutes, things that are community standards, and things that are personal convictions. I get that. I teach on that a lot. But I hear Christians now, and they just... one thing after another. So, well, that's really not wrong. Now, the thing that's really irking me, I have friends that are saying things like this. Well, Jesus never talked about sin.
Excuse me? Jesus never talked about sin.
Oh, man, I had a friend, a guy, he's a former coworker, and he pastors a church in your state, and he made that statement on Facebook, and I read him the write-up. I sent him a personal message. I didn't put it on his page to embarrass him, but I sent him a big, long thing with enough scripture references of Jesus saying, go and sin no more, and talking about sin. And I said, which Jesus are you talking about?
And, you know, you're mentioning the pastor, and I was going to go back to some of your other Christian friends who might not have been pastors, but That's my point. It is the pastors that I hold responsible, because these people are going to churches where they either their pastors are compromising or their pastors are avoiding this subject to, you know, to not joddle people.
Well, and it's dangerous ground. So they'll do these things, and then it pushes to the next level. And they'll say, well, we can't take everything in the Bible and be...
Yeah, they cherry pick. And when somebody says, well, I think the Bible's subject to private interpretation, they'll always quote some verse about God is love. And then I'll say, well, what? How do you know that when it says God is love, that's what it really means? Maybe it... But see, they're cherry picking. Their only standard is the verses I like came from God and the verses I don't like did not come from God. That's not an objective standard.
Just about every time. And by the way, people that throw that stuff around, I challenge them, because, and I do word studies, and I have a degree in theology, and I've done my homework, and I'll say, how do you define love? And most people look at me like the deer in the headlights, because they can't define love. The word that's used in our scriptures for the word love, the agape word that people love to talk about, has nothing to do with how you feel about somebody. Otherwise, why would Jesus say, love your enemies?
Yeah, the onus was on action. He was talking about the way we treat people. They had other Greek words for love that talked more about the feelings, philia, eros, words like that.
Yeah, all of those words, and so there has to be teaching. But the problem is, by and large, in many cases, the churches in America, the pastors are not interested in digging into that stuff and teaching stuff. Now, and I want to give an exemption, because I know Pastor Garlo is a man of the word, and I read his stuff, and he's not afraid.
But boy, he's come under flack for when his wife was dying of cancer. You should have seen the hideous things they were saying about him on blogs.
I know, and you know what? I think he's okay. He'll stand before God. He can look in the mirror with a clean conscience, and in the end, I think he's going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Well, that's the question we all have to ask ourselves: are we here to please people, or are we here to please God? All right, we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Felduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Felduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Felduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-401-2150. That's 619-401-2150. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Felduti will.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
This is Bob Siegel, joined by my very good friend and rotating co-host, Jim Barrier. Jim, we're already down to our last segment.
I know, and I have a closing thing I want to say, but I have to ask you this. Have you seen Ben-Hur yet?
I was telling Nick just before we went on the air, I've been holding off because I loved the first one. Yeah. I'm not a great fan of remakes. I know this is done by the people that did that Bible series on TV, which I actually... and maybe one of the few Christians that didn't really think that was all that good. However, I have heard good things about Ben-Hur. Okay. What have you seen it?
No, I'm waiting for your review. because the one with Charlton Heston, 1959 or whatever it was, for the longest time, I always said was my favorite film of all time.
It's in my top 10 list of top 10 best movies ever made.
Well, I'll wait until you see it, and I'll get your review.
I probably will. I think Dana wants to see it a little more than I do, so she'll probably persuade me. Wives can be that way.
I'm just concerned that they're going to make the Romans the good guys.
I believe it is true to the story, and Christ is, from what I've heard, I don't think they compromise any of the morals of it. But here's the thing, Jim. It was a four-hour movie, and they've cut it to two. That tells you that... it couldn't have been that great of a job. The other question I ask is, you know, Siskel and Ebert said this one time, why don't they take a movie that was not so good but had potential and remake that? When something's been done to perfection, why? What's the purpose of these remakes?
That's what my concern is, because I love the 59 version, which was a remake of a silent film. So
that's true. But that one I'll give them. If talking hadn't been invented yet and they wanted to make the movie again when people could actually talk, I'll give them that.
Okay. Now, my closing statement, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and I'm reading it from a different translation than I usually use, but it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The usual version of that is, where there's no vision, people perish. But a very good rendering is, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. I think that's where we find ourselves. People are blinded. They haven't had truth revealed, and they have cast off restraint. And so it brings us full circle to my opening remark that law without sanction is merely advice, and people don't respect the law. They have cast out the law because they just don't see clearly. There is a blindness.
And look at the things the Justice Department will jump in and insert itself in the middle of. Like this Ferguson, which was the case that started the Black Lives Matter. That policeman was exonerated, and was even exonerated with the Justice Department, which never should have interfered. But then they still dubbed the police department as being racist. They're going to investigate this latest one, where this time it was a black police officer that shot somebody.
Yeah.
Same charge of racism, same, and then riots and people's businesses burning down all over Milwaukee. I was watching some statistics the other night on the news, and it seems that this is just some kind of an excuse to federalize our police force. And that's pretty dangerous, a national police force.
But as you pointed out, it was a black officer, and the guy that we shot was running, and he was carrying a stolen weapon.
And he turned around aiming the weapon, and they even have footage showing that. It doesn't matter. Well, we found out that George Soros, I mentioned his name earlier on the program, he's one of the big sponsors of Black Lives Matter. And now the Black Lives Matter movement is coming out and declaring Israel to be a nation that commits genocide. Genocide? There are Palestinian sectors that are given all these rights that Israelis are not even allowed to go to, even though it's technically part of the nation of Israel. There is, and I mean, just to even say there is no genocide, it seems like ridiculous to even have to answer such an outrageous charge. But those are the times we live in.
Yeah. So there are glimmering sparks of light on the Bob Siegel Show and other shows, and there are people that are out there trying to tell the truth and trying to get that out. But we seem outnumbered right now, Bob.
Absolutely.
But we don't give up.
No, we don't. At least, until they come out with that fairness doctrine and pull us off the air, we'll be here.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't happen under Obama, because he talked a lot about the fairness doctrine. Yeah. They did make some strides, though. They were pushing the fairness doctrine under a new name called localism. The FCC did make the internet a public utility. So he did do some things that advanced the cause. But under his watch, there is still some freedom over the airwaves.
Well, a concerning thought, maybe they just don't think that we're a threat anymore. And let's prove them wrong.
Yeah, possibly. You might be right.
Wow, we covered a lot of stuff here tonight, my friend.
We did. Trump, Hillary, Obama, more Trump. What other things are on your radar these last few minutes?
I'm getting more and more intrigued by this race, because I don't believe polls. I've never believed polls, and because they're so easy to manipulate. And I just wonder. Even though not all of the Republicans are behind this guy, I just wonder if Trump doesn't stand a chance of winning this thing.
Well, I'm hearing from more than one pundit on TV, and they're coming out, and they're immediately admitting this is anecdotal, but they're talking about friends they have who will not publicly admit that they're going to vote for Trump. But when they get into the voting booth, they're going to look both ways, make sure nobody's watching them. He's just become such a negative word. So now that doesn't give me enough comfort to think that the polls are way off. I would say this: if we start to see the polls close, and we are seeing them close a little bit, if we reached a point where Trump, despite all this criticism, got a narrow edge over Hillary, at that point, I would guess that it's probably a bigger edge than we think. But I would want to wait till the needle goes a little farther before I would say that.
Yeah, but then I think if he does tip over and he has the edge, then I think they're probably trying to hide that as much as they can. But
I hate to say this, but if we have more terrorist attacks, which we probably will, if we look at the track record the last few years, that tends to go in Trump's favor. That's a horrible reason for it. But
yeah,
when that happens, people start thinking, I want safety, I want law and order. They do not think of Hillary and Obama when they think of safety and law and order.
Yeah. And they shouldn't. So we will see. It's going to be an interesting couple of months. I hope to be able to talk with you more about it soon.
Well, we will have you on again next month, like we always do. Always great to hear from you, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.